Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, Florida representative from District 1, the state of Florida. Congressman Hill loves the Lord. He's a Christian. He's a conservative. He's a Republican. He is in a primary. The final day for voting in the primary is the 18th. That's just a few days away from us. We'll talk about his website in a moment and ask you to go to that website. Look him up. Join with him. Let's hold his hands up, asking God, first of all, in prayer to give him victory in the primary and then in the November election, asking God to keep him in office for us. We're looking forward to talking with him further today about some of the things he's planning on doing and introducing in the legislative session come the spring of 2021, and I'm looking forward to that. Congressman, we're talking about before the break, we're talking about masks and the dangers of it and how we're being forced to fall into that, and I don't know if you're aware of it, I think you probably are, that now Comrade Fauci, you know, the white jacket dictator for the, how would you say, the science and the medical world in America in particular, Comrade Fauci has just said that perhaps we need to wear goggles, a head shield, a face shield, and mask. He thinks that all three would be better if we would dress out in that fashion, that we might be able to squelch this. And yet at the same time, he says that it's not the COVID-19 is not going away. We're going to have other waves and waves and waves. And the only hope for America and the world is to be vaccinated. And he didn't say it. I'm adding it. To be vaccinated with the Bill Gates vaccination that will be able to mark us, trace us, and follow us around the globe. What are your thoughts in relationship to that very briefly before we move on to another thought and subject in today's dialogue and discussion?
Well, I'll tell you this, Dr. Fauci. I will refuse to get a vaccination from, I don't care if it's been determined and issued by the government, doctor, or anyone else. You are not putting a needle in my body with my permission. Not at all. And in fact, Dr. Fauci, I have not had a flu shot or a vaccine since I left the military back in 1990 when by order, I had to receive a flu shot every year. But once I left in 1990, I have never gotten another flu shot since then, and I haven't been sick. They are not going to put a vaccine in my body, and I would tell all free Americans, all free citizens of Florida, do not allow them to put that vaccine into your body, because if you do, that means you have now been infected with the COVID virus.
Absolutely, and that's the thing I'm fearful, Congressman, that most people do not recognize. In fact, I have found, and I'm sad to say this, I have found, generally speaking, if the government says it, the public hears the government saying, you need to do this, you need, and it's for your good, it's for your benefit, it's for your health. Most people, most Americans are willing to subject themselves to it and say, yes, government, please vaccinate me, please do this for me, please let me fall in line, please let me simply obey what you say. And that brings to another thought. Dr. John MacArthur, as you perhaps are aware, he pastors Grace Community Church in California. And Dr. MacArthur, back 8 weeks ago, made the determination that, in fact, I remember reading articles about it, hearing him speak about it on the radio broadcast, about we need to obey the government. The government says that we need to shut down for a couple of weeks. We need to shut our churches down to be able to flatten the curve. And he said then, because he's saying now that as a result of what he heard then, 2.2 million people are supposed to die. Dr. Fauci's numbers coming out of the London Institute and Professor Ferguson that fabricated those numbers by false data has, of course, since been fired from the Institute. And as a result of that, Dr. MacArthur said, well, we'll shut the church down. Well, he kept his church shut down for about 2 months, about 8 weeks or a little better. And he has now taken the stand that we're going to remain open. We're going to obey Christ and not Caesar in relationship to our churches. And now the government there, the mayor, Garcetti, I believe it is, in the county that his church is in, that Dr. John MacArthur's church is in, Grace Community Church, they're now saying that they're going to fine him $1,000 a day, and they're going to ultimately, if he does continue to have services, they're going to shut the power off in the church and perhaps place him under arrest. Speak to that issue for us, Congressman. You're an attorney. You're Christian. You're in a leadership role with the rules and regulations, as I call them, the laws. How does that coordinate? How does that fit with a constitutional republic and a free people, especially with our First Amendment right? Speak to that issue for our listeners to understand where we are in America and what it points to if we're not careful and if we're not prayerful and if we do not reelect President Trump in November.
It is utterly astounding that we see government actually trying to do that in America to a church. But please let me just correct you just briefly, Dr. Youngblood. I'm not an attorney. I'm an insurance agent. But that's okay.
Okay.
Here's the thing. What we are seeing is government directly violating the Constitution, and in particular the First Amendment, which says that that our religion is not to be infringed upon by the government. Now, when we talk about separation of church and state, we're not talking about that you can't bring your faith into the public arena. What we are talking about is government has no right, no authority to infringe upon the church in any shape, form, or fashion. They can't tell you when you can worship. They can't tell you how you can worship, like you can't sing in your choir. They can't tell you where you can worship. That is a foundational, fundamental right we have here in America. Actually, every person has that. But here in America, we have codified it with our Constitution. And what they are doing is completely unconstitutional. I applaud that pastor of that church who says we are going to stand for God, we are not going to fear the government, and we are going to remain open and worship him. And I would encourage him to continue doing that. I believe there are organizations such as Liberty Council, which will step forward and defend that pastor and others who are facing similar situations.
Well, they have a wonderful constitutional law firm that's representing them. In fact, the two lawyers that now own the docket, if you will, are representing Dr. MacArthur and Grace Community Church. And it is the law firm that also is one of the chief attorneys for President Donald J. Trump. And I find it an enlightening, refreshing position. But even in California with Eric Garcetti as the mayor there in one of the counties, I believe it's Los Angeles area, says they've started having, because so many churches are shut down, 32 counties representing about 80% of the churches in California are now shut down completely. And so people have started worshiping in their homes. And now Garcetti has said that they're going to shut off the water and the power of any of the homes that have home Bible studies and or, as they call it, throwing big parties. So I find it antithetical to anything that's called religious liberties and the freedoms in America to find county officials that are taking to themselves the dogmatic dictatorial power that you can't have meetings in your home, regardless whether it is for studying the Bible or singing or praying or whether it is having a party. Now they're saying you can't have meetings in your home or they're going to shut the power and the water off in your homes. What does that show us? Where does that point to as to where we're headed as a nation if we as conservatives and Christians fail to vote for Donald J. Trump November the 3rd?
Well, as you said in your monologue at the beginning, Dr. Youngblood, we can see, we don't have to guess what's going to happen if President Trump isn't elected. We can see what can happen because we see in these leftist-controlled, these Democrat-controlled cities and counties, and even at the state level, we see what they will do in imposing their Marxist, socialist regimes onto the people, where it means less freedom, it means more control for them, and it means that you cannot live as this nation was originally founded on, and that is on freedom, Christian principles, and prosperity. it would all be gone. We have seen it. We've seen it in Seattle. We've seen it in Portland. We have seen what the governor Newsom has done out in California. We've seen what the governor of Virginia has done, the governor of New York, Cuomo, and it has been an utter disaster. We don't have to guess what's going to happen. This is what needs to happen in November in that election, Dr. Youngblood. The church needs to rise up. The church cannot set this one out. If the church will go and vote, then America will win. It is that simple. We have to tell the church members, don't believe this nonsense that I can't get involved in politics. I'm just supposed to preach the gospel. No, you must get involved in Amen. Politics. You must Amen. Elect God-fearing Christians into office, because if you don't, then you are ceding everything to the other side, to the Antichrist, to the leftists. That is not who you want making decisions for you, because we can see what happens. We see it, as you say, in that city out in California, where they will shut your power and water off because you are worshiping the living God. That is utterly amazing. The church must rise up and go vote for Christians in November. Vote coming in this upcoming election in Florida. We have a primary in August 18th. Do just a little bit of diligence. Find out who is the Christian, who is the God-fearing person, and that is who you vote for.
Amen. In fact, you touched on a subject that's dear to my heart. I call it God's election guide that's found in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers over thousands and rulers over hundreds and rulers over fifties and rulers over tens. And there's the, if you please, the qualification, able men, that is able to carry out the task, not community organizers, not community workers, but able, such as fear God, that is not just in words, but in actual walk. It means to honor God, and it means to say no to anything that would be antithetical to the Word of God, like the sodomite lifestyle through LGBTQ and the approval of murder by way of abortion. And it's simply very, very clear. Able men, that means having capability and having competence to carry out the task. Such as fear God, that means to awe, reverence God, and respect God, and place God and God's Word over anything else that you make a decision on in the leadership role. Congressman, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to ask a question for either of us, feel free to make that telephone call. It goes right through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have that dialogue and discussion with you. That's 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through. Congressman, we're talking about several things today, and I realize there's a, how would you say, a kind of a connectivity for all that we're talking about, and that's the thing that I want our listeners to understand. But across the nation, we've seen what you and I understand is a cancel culture, where they want to cancel, C-A-N-C-E-L, cancel everything that we hold so near and dear. That term, cancel culture, some have called it cancel America. Speak to that. What does it mean? How do we, as the average citizen, how do we recognize that? What's the roots of it?
Well, we know the roots of that are coming from socialist Marxist beliefs. And what they're trying to do when we say this cancel culture is to remove anything that is of which would celebrate what this nation was founded on. Now, here's the root of it, Dr. Youngblood. They started off with removing Confederate memorials and so forth. But now we see that they are removing all kinds of aspects of Columbus, any of our founding fathers. They want to remove it all. And this is why they want to remove it, because this nation was founded on Christian principles. The people who first came to this nation, came to these shores, did so with the purpose of honoring Christ and preaching the gospel. And what they want to remove that, and the reason they want to remove all that is because they don't want a power higher than the state. They don't want you to know that your liberties, that your rights come from the living God. They want you to think that it comes from the state. And the reason they want you to believe that is because if they recognize that we know that our rights come from God, then that means that your authority the state's authority must come from God also, which means you must adhere to his principles, meaning the Bible. They don't want that. They want you to think instead that they are the highest authority. And we have seen this, Dr. Youngblood. This isn't something new. We saw it in Russia. We saw it in communist China. We saw it in fascist Germany, where what they will do is remove the culture, remove the past as much as they can. We see it with the with ISIS and the Muslims, where they will go in, and once they are into a territory, they will remove the culture that is there because they want to be preeminent and not God. We must put a stop to this cancel culture. We must put a stop to this tearing down of statues and monuments. And what we are finding is that there is too much cowardness with elected officials, including Republicans, who are giving in to these demands to remove our past. Instead, we should celebrate our past because based on those Christian principles, it has made us the nation that we are today.
Absolutely. And one of the things that fits into that category, and I have a document on that, but time won't allow it to go into it. But basically put, we have some legislators on the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrat side of the aisle that are now saying that we need to stop, hear me, STOP, stop teaching history in our schools because it's a waste of academic time. And that's part of what we're talking about now of canceling the culture. It is removing anything. And part of that comes into that which you and I have talked about several times before. That's removing the historical landmarks. It is the what we would call the benchmark of history past. It is removing everything that would be a pointing to what history was like yesterday and in the founding of America and in all of the ensuing eons of time. And I believe it was it 2018 or 2019, you introduced House Bill 97. Speak to that for our listeners to understand the reason that that is necessary, even in the new legislative session, to do something to protect those monuments.
That's right, Dr. Youngblood. I introduced legislation that would protect all of the historical monuments, all of our cenotaphs that were erected for anyone who was a veteran or fought in any conflict in America, starting way back with the Spanish-American War, going forward up through the World Wars, Vietnam, even the current conflicts we are in. And the whole purpose of that is to preserve our culture. It is not to be torn down because you feel slighted, because you feel that it reminds you of something bad in the past and you want to take it down. We do not make legislation. We do not make laws based on your feelings. We are a republic. It is based on the rule of law. So the whole intent of that is to preserve our history. The good part, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the good part of our history becomes our heritage and something we are proud of. The bad part of our history, and it exists because there are bad people, bad part of our history we learn from so that we don't repeat it. So I'm going to reintroduce that legislation again this next upcoming session, and hopefully it will be able to get a committee hearing and we'll get it passed, because we can see that if we don't, what this cancel culture will do instead.
Absolutely. One of the things that I want us to think about and for our listeners to understand, and as I've said it dogmatically many, many times on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 90 days now, 90 days approximately, for Americans, we the people, to determine what kind of America do we want. Will America remain America as we know it after November the 3rd? What kind of America do we want? And I believe we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as conservatives, as patriots, and as Christians, because, ladies and gentlemen, without a Bill of Rights, without our Constitution, and that which it is encompassed in that with our Bill of Rights, without that, we have no freedom of worship, no freedom of religion, no freedom of speech, no right to keep and bear arms, and we, the people in the United States, we control the destiny and the direction for America, and therefore we must vote. And most are not aware, Congressman, that in 2016, 31 million Christian citizens did not vote. And so challenge our listeners about the imperative importance of voting. And in that same vein, let our listeners know. Give them your website. Tell them how we can help you. We need to pray, absolutely, bringing your name before the throne of God, asking him to give victory and to allow you to be victorious in the primary and to go back in office in January and do that which is God-honoring for the state of Florida. Speak to that freely for a moment.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, and I covet those prayers for two reasons. One, prayer works, and you know that, Dr. Youngblood. And
Amen.
Number two, it is so needed. It is needed. So yes, please pray for my victory. I'll say that because I do honor God. I do honor our Judeo-Christian beliefs and what made this nation so great. And that is how I will legislate. That's how I will conduct myself when I'm in Tallahassee. You mentioned an astounding number of Christians who did not vote in 2016, and that is just a shame. It is a neglect of your civic duty. Voting is the foundation of how this entire nation operates at every level, at the state, federal, county, city level. Voting is fundamental to how we exist and why we exist. And for you to not vote is a crying shame. You are abdicating your responsibility and your duty. Please go and vote your Christian values when you do go and vote. Now, I would like to share something with you, Dr. Youngblood, you're probably not aware of, but this is good news. This is hope. Just 2 days ago, I was invited to and attended a conference in Sandestin, Florida, and it was the first ever in this nation's history where we formed the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
Amen.
We had 25 states that were represented. We would have had a lot more, but this COVID nonsense stopped a number of people from traveling, from coming. But we have the foundation, a nucleus set for the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
Amen.
And I was so honored to be a part of it. You know, we know that Christianity shaped America and made our country what it is today. In fact, the Declaration of Independence and the founders repeatedly referred to God and Christianity. And, you know, George Washington was so correct when he said this, Dr. Youngblood, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. It's impossible. Our Constitution, John Adams said this, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And then it was the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Jay, said Providence has given to our people the choice of their ruler, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. That is what we must focus on. That is what this National Association of Christian Lawmakers is all about. We recognize that we're in a pivotal, crucial time for the destiny and future of the United States of America. And our nation is currently failing to steward our constitutional principles effectively and with courage. Our nation has lost its devotion to Jesus Christ and to governing according to Christ-honoring principles. Our nation is urgently in need of greater unity, as a house divided cannot stand. So now is the time for our nation to reflect upon its heritage, get rid of this cancel culture, reflect upon our heritage, and renew the call to maintain the constitutional and biblical principles that have carried us strongly since our inception.
Yes, that is absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. We've got about three and a half minutes. Let's take a few minutes to do this. By the way, you perhaps have heard Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas. And Dr. Jeffress said during an interview with the Lou Dobbs on Fox News Channel, he said, the only evangelicals who are going to vote for Joe Biden are those who have sold their souls to the devil and accepted the Democratic barbaric position on abortion. Dr. Jeffress said, I mean, it's so barbaric that Joe Biden believes in unrestricted abortion. He can't even get his own church, the Catholic Church, to stomach it. They have denied him communion because of that. Dr. Jeffers says Christians who vote for Biden have sold their souls to Satan, end quote. I think that's pretty revealing as to what is her understood in relationship to that. Quickly, though, and we want to get back to that before we close the broadcast today from the standpoint of how to reach you and how to assist you in these last days of the primary. But we have a push today from the Teachers Union, the National Educational Association, and the unions that control by stranglehold on our educational system. That's the reason we have such a deteriorating educational system in America. We have those unions that are pushing that the schools cannot reopen, trying to force the schools to remain closed. And yet, Congressman Hill, what I have found in my research, most of the parents across America want to have co-op school for families to be able to have the co-ops, just as is found in Christian groups of homeschooling, where they can teach their own children, or online education, or Christian schools, or charter schools, or parochial schools, and yet there's an attempt to try to force the schools to stay closed rather than allowing them to. What is your position on that? What should our listeners understand about that?
We should open our schools, Dr. Youngblood. I think it is nonsense that these teachers' unions are trying to keep these schools closed when all the scientific data shows that this COVID-19 has minimal, if any, effect at all on children. Those who do catch it recover very quickly without any ill effects. This is not about being safe. This is about control. This is about trying to keep President Trump from being reelected.
Yes, we
need to open our schools. And first of all, I wish we could do this, Dr. Youngblood. The only reason why unions have power is because the government allows them to have it. If they were to stand on their own two feet, they would lose their power. But government is protecting them. We need to, these unions are part of why our nation has deteriorated. They are destroying our country. And I'm not just talking about the teachers' unions. I'm talking about all unions.
Yes, I'm in agreement with that.
But Dr. Youngblood, I know we only have a little bit of time left, and I'm so thankful for your graciousness of having me on your show. If people want to reach me, they can go to votemikehill.com. That's votemikehill.com. You can see what I stand for when you go there, and you can also donate if you like. And Dr. Youngblood, every time you have me on your broadcast, someone hits that donate button and sends me some money, and I am so grateful for that because it's needed.
I am thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Go to that website for Mike Hill, Congressman, District 1, State of Florida. Push the donate button. I'd love to see 10, 15, 20 people just as a result of this broadcast today do that very thing, that we can pray for him and through our financial support see that God puts him back in office to represent us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.